No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba, for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. We say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel.
I'm awake, Drew. I promise. I'm awake.
You're awake. I appreciate it. You might be doped up on some cold medicine, and you kind of look a little bit chilly, like maybe you got a little bit of the chills going on there, wearing a heavy sweater and a...
In this basement. I mean, you know, this River Heights basement, as soon as it gets to the fall, it's freezing at the best of times. But yeah, I'm good to go. You almost said good morning there. It's pretty close.
Well, I was about to say good morning.
Oh, it is the morning. It's 12:01.
Yeah, well, I got 11:58 on my clock. So it depends on what clock you're using. It's either good evening, it's either good very late night or about to be good morning. And nonetheless, we are here for the Illegal Curve post game show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg here to talk about the Winnipeg Jets pulling off a 3-2 come from behind victory in Edmonton, in Alberta. The Jets went down 2-0 and they scratched and they clawed. And on the backs of Connor Hellebuck, on the back of Connor Hellebuck is the reason why the Jets come away with 2 points tonight, a much needed 2 points for these two teams that we talked about this morning, Ezra, two teams that have struggled to start the year, two teams that have been disappointed with their results so far this season. The Jets are able to go on the road and get a much needed 2 points in Edmonton. And the way they do it, coming all the way back, not rolling over after giving up the early two goals, is significant, I think, for a Jets team that is trying to still sort of get their sea legs underneath them.
Yeah, and you mentioned Connor Hellebuck, who we're obviously going to talk about a lot. And
yeah,
he's the after-hours guest tonight with Scott Oakes. I think Scott Oakes pretty happy with the end result because it wasn't looking too good, right? Like, the Oilers scored 2 goals in the first 5 minutes, and then Hellebuck shuts the door for the rest of the game, right? So he was incredible. Warren Fogle had a breakaway in that first period. Who had the other one? Was it Zach Hyman had the breakaway? There were two breakaways in the first period. I know Warren Fogle was one of them. Maybe the chat can help me out. I think Zach Hyman had a good scoring chance in the first, but I'm not sure if he had the other breakaway.
Well, it was one of those games, Ezzy, where, you know, Connor Hellebuck, you know, and he's done it many times before, so we shouldn't be surprised when he does this, where he might give up a couple, but he says, you're not going to get that next one. That, you know, if he gives up a third goal at any point in this game, especially, you know, before the Jets tied it up, it's a backbreaker. And so he said, you know, two is all I'm going to give up. That's all you're going to get past me tonight.
Greg Penner, Zane Hyman, by the way. So I think I was right there.
Right. Okay.
So another breakaway. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. But I'm saying, you know, Hellebuck found his game. You know, this is a guy who hasn't had his A game so far this season. He would say that, I'm sure, as well as we have been.
That was an A game.
That was Connor Hellebuck saying, I'm going to shut the door. I started slow. I don't like my start. I don't like how this game started for my teammates. I don't like how this game started for myself, but I'm going to shut the door and they're not going to get anything else past me. And it's hugely important for the Jets to be able to have a goaltender. And they've had a goaltender in Connor Hellebuck, who's been able to do this for so many years now, where he is just going to say, you know, he might give up one, he might give up two, but then he can just sort of somehow put up a roadblock. And that's certainly what he was able to do for the final. You know what? When did Edmonton score their second goal? They scored their second goal 6 minutes into this game. Well, so then do a little bit of math there. So for the final 54 plus another 4 minutes in overtime, final 58 minutes of this game, he said no more. And as a result, the Winnipeg Jets come away with the 3-2 victory in Edmonton tonight.
Hellebuck needed that performance, as you said, Drew, and the Jets needed that win, right? Like, and we talked about it on this morning show, right? Like, the Jets haven't had any back-to-backs. The schedule is going to get easier, right? Like, you've got St. Louis, who's not very good, let's be honest. Detroit is a tough game. Detroit, I believe, is 3-1 or 4-1. But then
they've
you've
been
got
playing
Montreal.
Some good hockey so far.
And Montreal won again tonight, too. So, I mean, none of these games are easy, but you're not playing, you know, Vegas, and you're not playing LA. You're not playing, you know, the big heavy teams in the West. Yeah. So certainly St. Louis is a game in which most people are going to take the Jets right at home. But yeah,
you want to hold court at home. You want to win those games at home. You're absolutely right. And they have St. Louis on Tuesday, and then you know Detroit's now 4-1 on the year, and they're putting the puck in the net, and they're not giving up very much. So it's not the same Detroit Red Wings that we're used to seeing the last, you know, as they've been going through this rebuild.
The Jets are still a better team, in my opinion, than the Red Wings. Like, I think they're off to a good start, but as you said, Drew, I don't think we're going to get too excited after five games. And the thing with, you know, these two teams, as you're watching this game, I think most people would agree. I mean, did not look like 1-3 teams, right?
No,
like, and the goaltending, you know, was a big issue for both of these teams. And I thought Stuart Skinner was really good. And when we get into the Betway game recap, we're obviously going to talk about the, you know, the giveaway, the, I don't know if you want to call it miscommunication between Skinner and Nurse, but I mean, that was a gift to the Jets, right? And give Alex IFL a lot of credit, right? Like that was an aggressive forecheck, and he causes that, but you know,
don't get ahead of yourself, but you're right, it's a
gift. Was good. Aside from that, I mean, the Morrissey goal was not his fault. I don't think he saw it. I mean, Mason Appleton provided a really good screen, and it was a beautiful shot, right? Like, so nobody's faulting Skinner on the Morrissey goal.
No. Look, I mean, I think the goaltending from both teams was decent tonight, and these are two teams that have had lousy goaltending to start the year. I know, Stuart, you know, and we'll talk about it when we get into the game recap. The second goal for the Jets is an ugly one, and it's nothing you ever want to see happen. But I mean, by and large, I thought Stuart Skinner was fine for the Oilers tonight. Connor Hellebuck was very good for the Jets tonight. Look, it's a game where, you know, you got to steal some games over the course of the season. Now the Jets, you know, for the last couple of years have been stealing more games than they really deserve to win. But the flip side to that is they lost some games earlier this year already, the game in Calgary, that they were the better of the two teams. Tonight, they were not the better of the two teams. The Oilers were possession dominant for the vast majority of this game. For the first period and for the third period, the Oilers were the dominant team possession-wise. I think the Jets only had one forward line that was over 50%. And that was the Ehlers, Nemesnikov, Perfetti line.
They had one shift where they were in the Oilers zone for a solid minute.
Right. That was either late in the second, or that was early in the third period there, where they had the Oilers hemmed in. And, if it wasn't for, they almost connected on a number of good scoring opportunities on that shift. They were Ehlers the Jets' still best
doesn't
line.
Look, sorry, Drew. Ehlers still doesn't look like full health Ehlers or, top, like, it doesn't seem like the best of Nikolai Ehlers. Like, you go back to that cross ice pass that Morrissey gave Ehlers and Ehlers whiffed on it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that he had a bad game. I just think like he's still not, playing at that level that you expected.
Well, there were a number of opportunities in the course of the game. You talk about Ehlers, that was oftentimes you expect that puck to be in the back of the net because it was a pretty nice setup. Kyle Connor, how many, one-timers, I think just off the top of my head, Kyle Connor had three or four one-timers where you're used to seeing him deposit that puck into the net. And he was just
missing,
a little bit off.
He was missing the net a lot tonight.
Yeah, he was missing the net. You're right. And so he's not clicking perfectly. I mean, his timing is just a little bit off for whatever reason, but that's not going to last long. You know that he's going to find the mojo that he usually demonstrates in order to score those goals. So it's not, look, the Jets are not a perfect hockey team by any stretch of the imagination. Don't get me wrong. They were fortunate tonight to have one of the best goaltenders in the league in order to get the 2 points, and an important 2 points. I know you don't want to, it's still early in the season. You don't want to start, using too much hyperbole about the importance of tonight's game. And, all due respect to Harnarayan Singh, who I like quite a bit as a broadcaster, I don't think it had a playoff feel as he said late in the third period.
It was a good hockey game.
It was a good hockey game, but it wasn't a playoff feel. Let's not get carried away.
I mean, Harnarayan, obviously his job is to
hype it up.
Hype it up. So the Jets were badly outplayed in the first.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other way you can say it. We talked about the breakaways. Edmonton could have had three or four goals. The second period, the Jets were better, but they didn't have any goals up until Nemesnikov scored the goal that we talked about earlier, which we'll break down in the Betway game recap. Mm-hmm. But the third period was not good, right? Like, what did the Jets have? Four shots? In the third period, like, there wasn't a lot of sustained pressure.
Four shots in the third period. Yeah, so and then they had four shots in overtime. So that's
right. So how good could you have played in the third period if you had four shots, right?
They didn't
the
play
Jets,
very
I thought,
well.
The overtime was pretty even. I think I would probably give a little bit of an edge to the Jets. But I think, like it went to overtime, and it's a coin flip when it goes to overtime, especially when Connor McDavid is not in there, right? Like, it looked like, I don't know if it was a hip or a groin. I mean, something was not right there.
So we have to talk about that. The last, you know, Connor McDavid doesn't play overtime. He doesn't play the final really 4.5 or so minutes of the third period. And that's a huge, advantage for the Winnipeg Jets. Anytime Connor McDavid is not on the ice, especially in a 3-on-3 situation where you just know, I mean, you know how dangerous he is at 5-on-5. So at 3-on-3, he's, you can maximize that level of dangerous that he is. So the Jets, need to take advantage of that scenario, and they did. I mean, they don't need to apologize for that. There's nothing that they need to, they don't have to hold their nose or anything about that. At times players get injured. Gabe Vilardi, who's not Connor McDavid, don't get me wrong, but he got injured on Tuesday night against the Kings, and the Kings didn't take any mercy on the Winnipeg Jets, and the Jets in the same boat. They have to take advantage of that where Connor McDavid is injured or under the weather or not playing for whatever reason. And of course, from a hockey fan perspective, nobody wants to see Connor McDavid out for any significant period of time, and I don't expect anything along those lines whatsoever, but the Jets needed to take advantage of that. And so as a result, I think that they did control a lot of that 3-on-3 overtime until they were able to finally capitalize.
Draisaitl looked really tired, right? Like there was that one sequence.
Yeah, his legs just looked like
And you could tell, like, it was kind of like, Connor, you could jump over the boards anytime and help me out here, right? He played a lot, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, Draisaitl is so dangerous. I didn't think he was, again, we talked about Ehlers not being peak Ehlers. And again, it is early in the season, but I mean, that's not peak Draisaitl as far as I'm concerned. Obviously, he contributed on the power play, but I didn't think he was, necessarily super dangerous in overtime. But I would agree with that. I think, and when you have players like Kyle Connor, and again, we talked about Vlad Namestnikov. I think the other thing I wanted to mention, Drew, here, I'm not sure if we're going to kick off the Betway game recap. We'll probably get into it pretty soon here. But
yeah,
the other thing, too, was the flow of this game was really weird in the sense that how many power plays were there in the second period? Six?
There
weren't any in the third, right? So it was like, and Edmonton obviously has one of the best power plays in the league. At least they did going into this game, top five, top six, right?
Yeah.
So that was another thing, too.
Taking away the Brendan Dillon, Evander Kane fight, which I thought was a pretty good tilt of two guys who certainly aren't afraid of some physical activities. There were five minor penalties in the second period. So that second period, by and large,
half of it was a power
play. Half of it is power play. So, and it's not like those were, coincidental minors or those were penalties where they took a power play off the board. In fact, I don't think any of those happened. I think it was, the Jets got a power play, then the Jets had got another power play, then Edmonton got a power play, and those were full 2-minute power plays. And the only scoring on that happened to be the shorthanded goal that ended up being the goal that takes the game into overtime.
Rasmus Kupari drew two of those penalties.
Yeah.
I thought he was, again, noticeable out there, right? Like, we talked about him as a right shot being an option on the first line. I'm sure we might break that down again because, obviously, Appleton gets moved down. Basically, Iafallo and Appleton flip-flop from the first and third line.
Exactly right. So that happened after the first period. I just never understand. And look, Rick Bowness has forgotten more hockey than I'll ever know. But I just never understood, why anyone would think that Mason Appleton would be able to succeed in that role from the get-go. And it lasted four periods. So his stint as a top-line right winger lasted four periods. But even when they were making that decision to begin with, I just don't see what the thought process would be.
Right shot, I really don't know.
Yeah.
Because Nino Niederreiter, Alex Iafallo are better offensive players. They just are. Right. Like, all due respect to Mason Appleton, we talked about it. His strengths are penalty killing and being a reliable defensive forward.
Yes.
Right. Like, you're not going to get a lot of offense out of Mason Appleton. I think if he scores 10 goals this year, you're happy with that.
That's right.
Maybe 12 or 13. Like, it's just the reality. Right. And Iafallo scores two the other night against Vegas. And you're thinking, like, maybe it's going to be him. And then, as you said, it only lasted one period. And, we'll get into the goal here. But, Appleton did not look good on the Darnell Nurse goal.
No, he certainly did not look good in that role, period. And he's much better. I think he's far better off, you know, as a player, just playing in that role where that he's more accustomed to, lower down the lineup and doing a lot of the checking and penalty killing things that he is going. You got a decent skill set for. So let's get into it. As we've preambled for the last 15 or so minutes, let's get into and break down this Winnipeg Jets 3-2 victory over the Edmonton Oilers. We do so with the Betway game recap.
The Betway game recap.
Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued sponsorship of the Illegal Curve post-game show. As you all know, Betway is one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Head on over to Betway and bet your way. As we talked about, the Jets did not get a good start to tonight's contest. The Oilers come out flying. It's Darnell Nurse, his first of the season. It comes at the 1:25 mark of the first period, not what the Jets wanted. Assist to McDavid and Draisaitl. It's an even strength goal for the Oilers to make it 1-0 nice and early in tonight's contest, Mr. Ginsburg. You're on mute. There you go.
Yeah, I had to get myself off mute there. Sorry. When I don't have my mouse and I just use the tracking pad, I have so many things plugged in here, like my webcam and my microphone. So I'm a mouse guy. I'm old school. I'm 41 years old, so I still need to have a mouse. So that's why.
Is this your way of saying you want to start a GoFundMe for to get a mouse? Folks in the chat, if you can all throw a couple
mice
cents
Mice are very. I can't believe I'm saying mice, the plural of mouse. Yeah. But I think mine was like $15. So even with my balance in my bank account, I can afford a mouse, Drew. But because I have so many things plugged in here, all my USB ports are spoken for right now. But look at, I mean, to me, like, you have numbers on this goal. And it's Neil Pionk who kind of, you know, his man is Leon Draisaitl. So Leon Draisaitl gets body position. How many times has he done that? Especially, you know, with the size difference there. Brendan Dillon has Zach Hyman in front of the net. No problem. Kyle Connor is also on that line. Mm-hmm. And what happens here is Scheifele's back to cover McDavid, but he's not really covering him. And look, it's a beautiful pass by little, you know, backhand saucer. You know, short pass to Darnell Nurse, but Mason Appleton's kind of in no man's land, and Darnell Nurse just, you know, takes the pass and goes in and wires a shot past Hellebuck. So to me, it was just kind of weak defensive zone coverage, right? And the Oilers came out firing, right? Like the shots were, what were they, 10-2 or something like that?
Yeah, they were the better team by far to start.
Yeah, but on that goal, like that's what I saw at least. I mean, you had a lot of guys back, but there was just too much time and space there. You had Scheifele not tight on McDavid, and then you had Appleton kind of not really taking anybody. And then just Nurse steps in, and, you know, I mean, Nurse has a really good shot, and, you know, it's a nice goal.
Yeah, good start for the Oilers.
I mean, they executed that goal perfectly. It's just, I mean, like, the Oilers took what the Jets gave them there. Is the way I would kind of describe that.
And then the Oilers are not a team that you want to give too much time and space to, because they have so much skill, you know, just oozing out of the top of that lineup that they know how to take advantage of that. So it's 1-0 Edmonton early in tonight's contest, and then it goes from bad to worse as the Oilers make it 2-0. Evan Bouchard, he gets his first of the year. How would you like that? The first three goals in tonight's game, all scored by defensemen, when you add in the Morrissey one, which we'll get to, but Bouchard gets his first, assist to Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. So McDavid and Draisaitl, both of whom had quiet nights, each ended up with 2 points. You know, that's how they end up with, you know, 180 points a year. Exactly. Is when you say, they didn't really have much of a great, they didn't really do much, they weren't that good. Oh, they each had 2 points each. Bouchard on the power play. We talked about it. You can't take penalties against the Edmonton Oilers. I would argue the Jets are fortunate that in the course of the entire game, where they took, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 minor penalties, that the Oilers, you know, they got the 25% that they usually get, but the Jets, of course, managed to match that or better that with their own power play goal and a shorthanded goal. So if you say that the Jets, if you play the Oilers and you win the special teams battle, you're doing something okay in that instance there, Ezzy.
Yeah, and to me, really, the biggest thing that I saw on this goal, like, obviously, Hellebuck is way out of position.
Way out of position.
Right? Like, he is, but the thing is, everybody, like, there were three Jets converged on Connor McDavid, and I get it. I mean, you talked about it. He's the best player in the world, had 153 points. Like, if there's one guy that you want to have three guys converging on the power play. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, what happened is the Jets were, I mean, they were loaded on to the right of Hellebuck, and then Draisaitl was completely wide open. Draisaitl could have shot it,
yeah.
But he goes back to Bouchard, and he completely sold Hellebuck, right? Like, Hellebuck's going right to left, and then he's completely out of position, and Bouchard has a wide open net. So, again, I just didn't think, you know, that was the crispiest penalty kill by the Jets. Again, like, you know, I think it was it Dylan Samberg that took that penalty? I think he was the guy that was in the box, if I'm not mistaken. Good evening, Argentina.
Yes, Juan K or Wonk, I'm not sure which it is a big fan of ours.
Welcome.
Yes, we're big in Argentina, as you
know. No, there's a great Argentinian community. Leandro Zilberman, actually, whose son is in my daughter's class. He's Argentinian, and Argentina is always a country that I've wanted to visit. So that's awesome that we have someone watching from Argentina.
The country passed the law not letting you in. It was a controversial decision. It was unanimous. It went to a countrywide referendum. You got two votes for you. That was it. It was a countrywide referendum, and you got two whole votes.
I can still go to Fiji though, Drew.
Oh well, I'm sure Fiji would be lovely this time of year there.
Yeah, New Zealand and Fiji, no joke, are two countries that I've wanted to visit because my old high school friend Dan Harrison. You remember Dan Harrison? Jesse Matus, they both went to New Zealand and Fiji, and they always talked about how cool it was, like surfing, and obviously it's at the other opposite end of the world. But anyways, we're straying here from our new fan from Argentina. Also, we have a fan from, I'm not sure if this is real, but I mean, if it is real, we have Thailand and Argentina, which is pretty cool, listening to little old us here in Peg City. But yeah, look, that just wasn't really good defensive zone coverage for the Jets. You know, there was just, Draisaitl was too wide open. Hellebuck's out of position because Appleton and Nate Schmidt kind of bite there. And yeah, there you go. It's 2-0 Edmonton, 6 minutes into the game.
Yes, it's 6 minutes into the game, and you're like, oh boy, what's going to happen tonight from the Winnipeg Jets perspective? But to their credit, they settled down. And Connor Hellebuck himself, especially as we talked about, he settled down. And he allowed the Jets, you know, to get their feet underneath them. And they did, with Josh Morrissey on the power play, assisted Dylan DeMello and Morgan Barron. Not the trio you would necessarily expect to connect on a power play goal, but it was very late in the power play with Leon Draisaitl in the box for holding 1 second before the power play expires. Morrissey gets the Jets on the board, and you know that, okay, from 2-0 to 2-1, when you haven't played well and you're halfway through the first period, it's like, okay, we got our feet underneath us now. We can start to maybe get into this game. It hasn't snowballed so badly that it's completely out of touch from the Winnipeg Jets perspective. And it was very important for them to get that goal off the stick of Morrissey, his first of the year. So you got Nurse getting his first, Bouchard getting his first, and Morrissey getting his first, all in the first period, and all of them, of course,
triple D
defensemen.
Can we say that? Triple D?
You can say triple D. Now I'm going to be hungry, though. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I could use a little bit of food from there.
But, you were in Miami for Rocky's bachelor party.
I was not there, in fact.
You weren't there. Okay. We saw Guy Fieri in South Beach.
Oh, okay.
You sure this wasn't a guy? You've got a great job, Drew, but I think I have a pretty good job at Hockey Manitoba. But, I mean, does anybody have a better job than Guy Fieri? It's a pretty awesome job.
You go around eating food at, you know, delicious places throughout the United States.
And getting paid millions of dollars. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that one.
Yeah. First off, Morrissey, we've talked about this how many times over the years. He has a really underrated shot.
Mm-hmm.
That's how hard it is, because it's hard.
It's also heavy.
He plays,
it's
more exactly, than, yeah. He places it like, and that's the thing. He knows exactly what he's doing. He has done this for years now. Mason Appleton provides the great screen there. And I don't know how much Stuart Skinner saw it, to be honest with you. And I think there was like half a second left in the power play. That's what they were reviewing. If you were watching it live, which I think a lot of people in the chat were, a lot of people watching were, watching that game live. And Morrissey scored with half a second left in the power play. So that's what they were checking to see if it in fact was a power play goal. But you're absolutely right, Drew. Like the fact that the Jets gave up those power plays, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I made a note too. He had a good scoring chance in the first period. Like they could have easily, and I mean easily, had three or four goals on Connor Hellebuck. So Hellebuck was really solid.
Mm-hmm.
He kept them in there. And as far as I'm concerned, he's the first, second, and third star of the game. But Morrissey came through big in the first period, and then he obviously came through big as well in overtime.
he was, for the record, he was the third star of the game after Scheifele, who of course scored the overtime winner, and then Leon Draisaitl was the second star, as voted on by.
I don't know how you could. I mean, who cares about les trois étoiles? But like, you know, how do you not give the first star to Hellebuyck?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but they always give it to the guy who scores the overtime winner. I mean, you know, again, but who cares about the three
stars?
Well,
the best is, for the record, we've picked the stars before and then they've just changed them. I mean, that's a little secret that maybe we shouldn't share. But.
Yeah, that's all. It's like, no, we don't want to give. We don't care what you guys have to say. We're not thinking, why'd you ask us?
Yeah. Legal Curve. You guys are just warm bodies in the press box. Okay. Like we could have just given this to a mannequin.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, interesting to note before we get into some goals, Cole Perfetti did not, his last shift came with 7:35 to go in the third period. So he appears to have been benched. I don't know if it's an injury related issue. I don't know if there's anything along those lines. So it's something worth probably following up on. I haven't seen any comments from Rick Bonus, but Cole Perfetti played his final shift with 7.5 minutes to go in the third period and didn't get any ice time at all in the in overtime. So I don't know if he's in the doghouse. I don't know if Rick Bonus is trying to send messages to him, but you know, when you combine,
he's one of the Jets' best forwards.
That line was possession wise.
I'm surprised. I was surprised by that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, you know, we know he took the hit in the preseason, and we thought he might have a concussion and miss some time. So I'm not sure, you know, if he was feeling woozy or if there was a nagging injury, yeah. Or like you said, it was, you know, Rick Bonus just not liking the way he was playing. Because I didn't think he was great in the first period, but I thought in the second period, Perfetti, Ehlers, and Mestikov really turned it up. And we talked about, they had that one shift where they were generating offense in the Oilers zone, and they had the Oilers hemmed in, and there wasn't a lot of that. Like, that's the thing. That's the way hockey is. And that's why, Drew, what you said earlier is, you know, Logan Thompson, speaking of Perfetti, he makes a ridiculous save. And if Perfetti scores there, the Jets probably win the game. Sure. Right. And so, you know, we saw that in the first game of the season, we did it at BP Taylor, right? Like, Jacob Markstrom was incredible in that first game. The Jets could have had 5 or 6 goals in that game. Tonight was Connor Hellebuck's turn to steal a game.
Yeah, something to keep an eye on, though, with Cole Perfetti there. And if we get any news as this post-game show continues on in the wee hours of Sunday morning, we will, of course, bring it to you here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg with you Sunday morning. It's now 12:25 a.m. So many of you here with us. We always appreciate your support and your love, and we want you to smash the like button. Dave M's not here, but wherever Dave M is, I think he's at a bat mitzvah somewhere. I'm not entirely sure where. Wherever he is, you know that he's just...
Apparently it's a bar mitzvah. I thought it was a bat mitzvah. It's a bar mitzvah.
Okay. Is that a bar
mitzvah? I don't know that for sure. I'm not really sure whose it is, but
yeah. But what I'm saying is, Dave is yelling at all you people to smash the like button, and he'd be yelling at us to yell at you to smash the like button. So there you go. I'm doing my part to keep Dave M to keep myself in Dave M's good graces. So 2-1 for the Edmonton Oilers after 20 minutes. Not a great period for the Winnipeg Jets at all. Connor Hellebuyck really standing on his head, keeping the Jets in it. The Jets' best period of the game, excluding the overtime, would have been the second period by my estimation, Ezzy, and I think that you might agree with me. And they had some scoring opportunities, but they didn't end up scoring until a very weird sequence while shorthanded late in the second period at the 18:21 mark. It's Vlad Namestnikov. He gets his first of the season after a great hustle play by Alex Iafallo, and it can both be a great hustle play and a disastrous decision by Oilers goaltender Stuart Skinner, because he's indecisive and he makes a bad read and a bad play and ends up putting the puck right on Alex Iafallo's stick, who is able to then come around the net and really feed it out front to Namestnikov, and Skinner's trying to get back in net. It's a bit of a Keystone Cops jam it all in front of the Oilers goalie, and the Jets are able to do so to tie the game late in the second period.
And just to back it up there, you know, you mentioned that you thought it was the Jets' best period. I mean, the analytics back that up. It was the only good Jets period aside from overtime. The Jets, we talked about, they were good in overtime. But the second period was clearly their best period. And that goes back to what we were talking about before. Josh Morrissey makes a beautiful cross-ice pass to Kyle Connor. That was the one that Stuart Skinner made the big save.
Yes.
So the Jets, you know, didn't have anything to show for it, but you're right. And you mentioned, you know, Skinner was indecisive there, Drew. And I thought Darnell Nurse was too, because Darnell Nurse, so you mentioned Alex Iafallo is the forechecking forward. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got the replay. I'm just watching here. Like, Darnell Nurse looks like, it looks like he's going to go for it and stay with Iafallo, but then he decides to leave it for Skinner so Skinner can get it to him behind the net, seemingly, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you said. And we've seen Connor Hellebuck do this before. Even though Hellebuck is one of the best goalies in the world, handling the puck is not his forte. I mean, we've seen him, and he doesn't handle the puck like this ever, or rarely. So, I mean, it was a combination of Nurse kind of deciding not to stick with Iafallo, and then Skinner coming way out, and then, you know, just he's completely out of the net. And like you said, Namestnikov gets body positioning on, I forget who, if it was Darnell Nurse or who it was. So he does a good job to give Iafallo an option there as Iafallo is wrapping it around the net.
Yeah.
But that, I think that was just kind of, you know, not the best decision making by both Skinner and Nurse. And then, no, it wasn't Nurse that Namestnikov had the body positioning on. I'm trying to watch the replay here. Sorry, it was.
Yeah, you're on a lot of cold meds. We'll let it slide. Tonight.
Ekholm. I knew it was a big defenseman. Ekholm was the other defenseman out there watching the replay. I mean, I'm watching the replay live here, Drew, as we do the show. I should figure it out. But Namestnikov got good body positioning on Ekholm. But give Iafallo a lot of credit. Like, let's not take anything away from that aggressive forecheck and all the hard work he does to get Namestnikov the puck there. So Iafallo just continues his really strong play through the first five games of the season.
He's been tremendous for the Winnipeg Jets, which is, you know, I'm not surprised. You know, when the Jets acquired Iafallo, what did we say about him? We said he's just a professional hockey player. I mean, you know, that he's not a superstar on the team. He's not a bottom feeder on any team. He's a professional hockey player who knows exactly how to perform his job night in and night out, game in and game out. And he's been terrific for the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, he was terrific in this sequence. I mean, it is still a good, you know, how so many players in that instance probably aren't aggressive on the forecheck there. They might be more passive, which is, you know, also not an unreasonable decision when you're shorthanded, but he times it up perfectly. He makes the goaltender panic, and that's what Stu Skinner did here. Skinner was caught between the rock and a hard place because he was indecisive. And then, you know, Iafallo's decisiveness and his decision to go hard to the net and put the puck into the blue paint ends up, you know, working out for the Winnipeg Jets and then some, as it's now 2-2 after 40 minutes. They've come all the way back. They've crawled all the way back to be in this game, a game that really they didn't have much business being in, given how they started and how they had to rely on Connor Hellebuck to
maintain that status. Well, and also, right, like we talked about too, they had three power plays.
Right? Three, like, pretty poor power plays, to be honest.
And that's the thing, right? That was what was weird about, like, they kept, like, the Oilers kept taking penalties. Yeah. And the Jets couldn't capitalize, and then they get this kind of fluky goal, like, not taking anything away from Iafallo. Fluky's probably, you know, doesn't give the goal justice, but a goal in which the Oilers, it was a gift to the Jets, right? Like, on the power play, you give up the puck to Iafallo behind the net like that, or, you know, close to the behind the net. So that's what was weird about it to me. But again, that's the way hockey is, right? Like, sometimes you the game is tied. And, you know, you don't deserve to be, you know, tied going into the third period, but that's the way it was. So give the Jets credit, right? Because the game could have been over, as we talked about in the first period.
Yeah, you know, and it's a number of games now, with the exception of the LA game, where the Jets have, you know, trailed and have fought back. So remember, think back to Calgary. They fought back after trailing on three separate occasions. And remember that Calgary game, they were down 1-0, 2-1, and 3-2, and they came all the way back. Now, they lost those games, so the loss is what matters most, but they're fighting. You know, the game against the Florida Panthers, they were down to the Panthers, if you remember, and they came back and ended up winning that game, but they were trailing the Florida Panthers. The LA Kings game, well, we know what happened there. That was the disaster of the game so far, at least the second and third periods. They were trailing the Vancouver, the Vegas Golden Knights by two goals. They came back. They're trailing tonight by two goals. They came back. So they are showing a fair amount of fight early this year in battling back in games where they've trailed. So, you know, if anyone wants to, you know, consider that as a, you know, a heartening factor, that certainly would be something that they can take some solace in. Sure, you don't like being down, but they are at least fighting back.
Well, and if you think about it, right, like, they could have easily won the game against Vegas, and they could have easily won the game against Calgary, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're 3-2, as opposed to 2-3, you know, it's amazing how one win right? Like you're under 500 versus over 500, one win at this point in the season. And that's why it's crazy when people are already talking about, you know, when a team is 1-3 and they're in trouble. But then again, you don't want to be going 1-4, 1-5, and so on and so forth.
It can snowball.
But you're absolutely right, Drew. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the Kings game, that's the only game in which the Jets definitely didn't deserve a point. Mm-hmm. But against Calgary and Vegas, I think you would agree they deserved at least a point.
I would, yeah, I don't have any argument, especially with that. Third period, again, very much the Connor Hellebuck show. The Jets rely on their goaltender in order to maintain where they're at, that being a tie game. The Oilers had certainly a number of good opportunities. I don't know that any of those opportunities were necessarily exceptional opportunities in the third period. I'm not sure what the... let me look at the high danger chances in the third period for the Oilers. It was 3-2, the high danger chances. So not a ton of high danger chances for either side. But Connor Hellebuck certainly had to be big. I mean, that big.
Ryan Nugent Hopkins had a point-blank chance. That was the one that stood out to me. But you're absolutely right. I mean, that period was like, I mean, I hate to say this, it's a cliche, but that was kind of like the teams were playing to get to overtime, right? Like, I think you would agree with that, the way, the style that they were playing. Like, it was very low event hockey.
Yeah, which is, again, not overly shocking. Both these teams are fine taking it to overtime in that instance. But there were, you know, times where the Oilers had opportunities, and I thought Hellebuck's rebound control was very good.
What about in the poke check, period. Too? The poke check on Janmark. Like, I know that's old school, and Louis DeBrusque mentioned, you know, how he liked that poke check. But, like, that was the type of thing. Like, Hellebuck was dialed in, and you nailed it. Hellebuck said after the goal by Evan Bouchard, like, I'm not letting any more goals in. I have not played well the first three games and one period, or for 6 minutes of the first period. And like, he was like, that's the Hellebuck that you've come to expect, right? Like, that's the Hellebuck that usually, you know, makes 30 plus saves in a game and gives him his team a chance to win, or, you know, steals a game. So you're absolutely right. I mean, Hellebuck was really good in the third period, even though, you know, he didn't face that many high danger chances.
Right. So the game goes into overtime. It goes to 3-on-3. And the Jets, you know, have opportunities. I mean, you know, and the Oilers had some opportunities as well. There was that sort of goal mouth scramble a little bit. And it was a back and forth, very entertaining 3-on-3 overtime period. And I'll give Rick Bowness credit here. There's an offensive zone faceoff late in the overtime session, you know, and he uses the timeout. He uses the Jets timeout, and it really pays off using that timeout, giving Scheifele, giving Connor, giving Morrissey a breather, because then on the ensuing faceoff, or pretty close to the ensuing faceoff, at the very least, the Jets control, and it's a very nice sort of three-way weave that they have going on. And Morrissey takes the puck, and Scheifele finds some soft ice, I think sort of behind Draisaitl. I think Draisaitl was supposed to be on Scheifele on this play, and Scheifele goes right, you know, in front of Stu Skinner, and a very nice slap pass from Josh Morrissey, and Scheifele redirects it into the top corner to give the Jets a much-needed 3-2 victory in Edmonton. But I really did want to give credit to Rick Bowness. I thought that was a very timely timeout late in the overtime session.
I agree. You use it, right? Like, what are you saving it for? The shootout?
Yeah,
right?
You can't use it in the shootout.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and you described that goal really well. Like, Kyle Connor skating, to me, like, anytime the Jets go into overtime, I'm just like, okay, regardless of what happens, I like to watch Kyle Connor skate, right? And you mentioned weaving. Like, Ekholm Ekholm's a good skater as well, a good defensive defenseman. Mm-hmm. But Connor's at the blue line weaving, and then he drops it to Scheifele. Scheifele drops it to, it's kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters. And then you're right, Draisaitl loses Scheifele. And, you know, it's a pretty simple goal when you think about it. And then, you know, Morrissey just puts a nice little pass, and Scheifele tips it in perfectly past Skinner. But Draisaitl loses Scheifele there. And Connor and that entire line just did a nice job of kind of, you know, cycling the puck high there near the blue line. So, yeah, good use of the timeout, and a nice execution on that overtime goal.
fourth goal of the season already for Mark Scheifele. So he's not quite on the pace for 82 goals this year anymore, but he's still on pace for pretty close to 82 goals. Morrissey, his fifth assist, and Kyle Connor getting the secondary assist on this one. It's a 3-2 Jets victory, much needed victory. They're going to fly home. Presumably, I don't know if it'll be tonight or tomorrow, but whatever it is, I believe the Sunday is an off day for the team. So they're going to fly home and they'll be feeling good about themselves. And they say, you know, hey, 2-3. Is a lot better than 1-4. 1-4 leads to a lot more questions. When you know 2-3, you're like, okay, now you got back on home ice. You know the first five games of the season have been against some real, you know, upper echelon talent, and now you have St. Louis on home ice on Tuesday night, and you would hope for a good performance there. But of course, I'll be getting ahead of ourselves. We'll deal with Tuesday night and that a little bit later on in the post game show, as well as Monday, Tuesday, in the lead up to that game as well on illegalcurve.com. Big thanks to our friends at Betway for sponsoring the Betway game recap. When we come back, more on tonight's Jets Oilers game, the Jets victorious 3-2. It's about 20 minutes before 1 in the morning. At this point in time, you have nowhere else to be, I can assure you of that. So stick around with Mr. Ginsburg and yours truly, Mr. Mindell. It's the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to rumorscomedyclub.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
The game can change just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy. Everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Boston Pizza harnessed Fanalytics to test if the game is better at home or at Boston Pizza. The results are irrefutable. Catch the game at Boston Pizza, powered by Fanalytics.
Are you dreaming of your very own backyard rink this winter, but dreading the work involved? Well, stress no longer, because the Rink Guys are here to make it happen. The Rink Guys are Winnipeg's first outdoor skating rink installation and rink maintenance service. The Rink Guys offer free site evaluations and different rink construction options. Plus, they use a custom-sized liner to prevent any damage to your lawn. Lighting packages are also available to help illuminate your rink during those long, dark winter nights. To get your rink started today, visit therinkguys.com. For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg
still
with
awake.
You.
Remind- still awake. I'm awake.
Still awake. Still hanging in there. We're going to wrap up soon, Ezzy. I promise you in about next within the next 15 minutes.
I can promise you that I will be going immediately to bed after we finish here.
Do not cross go. Do not collect $200. Go straight to bed. That's where you're at this point in time. But reminder, Tuesday night, it's a bit of a weird start time. So the game's at 7:45 on Tuesday night because the NHL is doing this thing where I think I think all 16 teams are playing on Tuesday night. Pardon me, all 32 teams are playing on Tuesday night. So 16 games, all starting at different times. So I think they all start like 15 minutes after one another, starting at 5 o'clock Central Time until maybe like 10:30 Central Time or something, or some weird time like that. So the Jets game is at 7:45, which means post game will be, I'm going to do some quick math,
10:30
somewhere around 10:15, 10:30, yep, somewhere in that vicinity. So that's what you can plan for on Tuesday night, the Jets and the St. Louis Blues. Jets win tonight though, 3-2, huge victory for the team in Edmonton. Tough Duck hardest hitting comment time.
The Tough Duck hardest hitting comment.
Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. Big thanks to our friends at Tough Duck for their sponsorship of the post game show in this fine segment. Ezzy, who's getting the toque tonight? I'll put it up on the screen and then you can read it accordingly.
Steve Ross. We're going to give it to Steve Ross. Steve Talking Ross. About Alex Iafallo is so underrated. Right places, right times, anticipates on the defensive side. What an acquisition.
There you go.
I love Steve that. Ross. You know, he obviously factored in big time on the tying goal. Vladislav Namestnikov scores late in the second period. He had a couple goals against the Vegas Golden Knights, including one in the power play. So I love that comment from Steve Ross, because I agree. Through five games, I mean, Iafallo has been one of the Jets' best forwards. I think, you know, you'd agree Scheifele's been their best forward through five games, but Iafallo has been one of their best forwards. So I love that comment. Steve Ross, love that avatar, by the way. Send me an email, ezra@illegalcurve.com, or you can slide into my DMs on X, formerly Twitter, @ICEZG. And just send me your mailing address. And then Tough Duck, it's great. We have a great relationship with Tough Duck. They're an awesome sponsor. And I agree, we continue to thank Tough Duck for their sponsorship of the postgame show. They ship the toques directly to the winners. So Steve, send me an email, ezra@illegalcurve.com, or hit me up on X and with your mailing info, and they will ship a toque to you. And you're going to need it because it is getting cold out there.
Be sure not
to wear it right now.
Don't hit Ezzy up on Triple X. You're going to get something completely different if that happens, and you'll be regretful of that for the rest of your life. I neglected to do this during the Betway game recap.
The Seager shot of the game.
I'll defer to you, Mr. Ginsberg. Do you want it to be the Morrissey shot that gave that put the Jets on the board, or do you want it to be the Scheifele deflection that gave the Jets the win?
Yeah, well, I mean, we have Morrissey in the bumper, right? Like, so we're going to give it to Morrissey. I mean, that's the goal. And that was a huge goal. Mm-hmm. At the time, the Oilers were all over the Jets, outshooting them badly, and Morrissey scores with just 1 second left on the power play. So we're going to give the Seagram shot of the game to J-Mo for his first period goal.
There you go. Josh Morrissey is the winner of tonight's Seagram shot of the game. I'm sure that's more important to him than the result of tonight's contest. But nonetheless, congratulations to Josh Morrissey and big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their sponsorship of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Big win for the Winnipeg Jets. 3-2 over the Edmonton Oilers. They crawl all the way back from down 2 goals early in the first period within the first 6.5 minutes, and they scratch and they claw and they pull off a 3-2 victory, largely on the back of Connor Hellebuck. But that certainly is not the first time that we have said that, nor will it likely be the last time we say that this season. The Jets next in action on Tuesday night. Want to make mention, of course, Manitoba Moose. There is no Minook Moose Minute tonight because Dave, well, I'm sure if you guys all email Dave, he'll gladly record something on his phone and send it to you. But the Moose won handily tonight, 8-2 over the Iowa Wild. So a shellacking on home ice for the Manitoba Moose. So congratulations to the Moose on their big victory tonight at home against the Wild. And of course, congratulations to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who defeated the Edmonton Elks by a score of, I believe it was 45-25 was the final score tonight at IG Field. The
Bombers. Nick Dembski hit 1,000 yards. So it's the first time in CFL history that you've had a Canadian with 1,000 receiving yards and a Canadian with 1,000 rushing yards. Obviously, Brady Oliveira. And yes. not only is it two Canadians, two Manitobans.
That's right. They're both tremendous players. The Bombers are a well-oiled machine. We will now see the Bombers. I mean, next week they're playing. It's a meaningless game in Calgary. But we'll next see the Bombers on Saturday, November the 11th. So that game's at 5:30 Central Time. The Jets are supposed to play at 3 o'clock Central Time that afternoon against the Dallas Stars in downtown Winnipeg. I suspect that game time will likely move. Maybe that game will start at 1 o'clock or 1:30 or something around those times to allow fans to be able to attend both the Jets and the Stars and the Bombers in the West Final against either the Stamps or the Calgary Stampeders. But great night for teams from Winnipeg, less great of a night for teams from Edmonton, both in the world of hockey.
Rough overall season for the Elks.
Yeah.
Haven't they only won 3 games?
Something they've been, well, you remember they started so poorly all yeah, like you know,
0-6 start. Or 0-7 or something.
Yeah, they got more competitive as the season went on. Once they turned the ball over to Trey Ford as their quarterback, but we don't really need it's 12:47 in the morning. We'll leave that to Bombing and to and then Zach on Bonfire Sports. We'll let them chat about the Bombers. I don't think we need to do that right now. 10 minutes before 1 in the morning. But unless you want to stay up, Izzy, I'm up on them wired at this point in time.
Absolutely,
you're the one who looks
not.
Like he's about to keel over and pass out.
It's been a long day with the 9 o'clock in the morning show, and everybody who's been watching both shows knows that I've been battling a cold. I think it's getting better, so I think it's probably on its last legs. I think by Monday I should be back to normal. I'll certainly be back to normal by Tuesday night for the post game show, but no, I think we can wrap it up, Drew. I think it's been a good post game show. We're approaching an hour here. I think both of us want to go to bed.
Let's go to bed. Let's do that. Say a big thank you to the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make the post-game show, the website, and the Saturday show a possibility. Our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, The Rink Guys, Rolly's Transfer, Seagram's Boston Pizza, Tough Duck, and of course, our friends at Betway. So many of you were with us this morning, 9 a.m. for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. That was almost 16 hours ago, if I'm not mistaken. So many of you are still with us as the clock.
For those of you who were watching the show this morning and are currently watching now, I love you. I mean, that's dedication. That's respect.
That's right. It looks like Grace is in Toronto. It's 1:47 a.m. there. We got people in Argentina. We got people in Thailand and all around the world. We all appreciate you joining us here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. Thanks to everyone for doing so. Of course, IllegalCurve.com has your latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio and Moose news and audio, and keep it locked to the website. Keep it locked to our social media channels as well for the latest on the Winnipeg Jets. We'll be back Tuesday night after the Jets and the St. Louis Blues around 10:30 or so in the evening. So stay tuned for that. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, and leave us feedback here, there, and everywhere. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.